Fifth reason. That which gives great offense and scandal, and lays a stumbling block in the way, both of the people of the land and our enemies, especially in the way of the godly, that is unlawful. But the present association and conjunction with all persons in the kingdom excepting a few, if any, is scandalous and offensive to the whole land, to the godly especially, and also to the enemy. Therefore it is unlawful. The major is beyond all exception, if we consider how peremptory Christ and his apostles are in the point of offense, which yet few Christians do consider. We ought not only to beware of the offense of the godly, but even of wicked men, even of our blaspheming enemies. Give no offense neither to the Jew nor Gentile, nor to the Church of God. Christ would not offend and scandalize his malicious enemies. The minor is proved. 1. There is great offense given to the godly in the kingdom by the public resolutions, concerning that conjunction with the malignant party, under the name and notion of subjects. 1. Because it is known that the most part of them are tender in that point, what fellowship they act with, and this hath been remonstrate unto the commission and committee of estates, from several synods. Now the present resolution layeth that stumbling block in their way, that they cannot act in the defense of the kingdom, because there is no way left them for the performing of that duty, but that which they in their consciences are not satisfied with. It is a sad necessity and snare that is put upon them, that they cannot perform their bound duty, which they are most desirous of, without sin, because of the way that is taken. 2. Is it not matter of offense and stumbling to them, to be necessitated by law to that which was their affliction? The mixture that was in our armies was their grief, and their comfort was that the judicatories were meaning it their duty to purge them. But now there is no hope of attaining that, all doors are shut up by the public resolutions. 3. It undoubtedly will weaken their hands, and make their hearts faint, so that they cannot pray with affection and in faith, for a blessing upon such an army, the predominant and leading part whereof have been esteemed, and are really enemies to God and his people. For is it not a great offense that anything should proceed from the public judicatories that shall lay a necessity upon many godly in the land, to suffer, because they cannot in conscience go along with it? Next, it scandalizeth the whole land. What may they think within themselves, to see such dissonancy and disagreement between present and former resolutions and practices? What may they judge of this inconstancy and levity of the commission, and thus be induced to give no respect and reverence to them in their resolutions? Is it not, at least, a very great appearance of evil to join with that party, that we did declare and repute, but some few weeks since, to be wicked enemies of religion and the kingdom, and look henceforth on them as friends without so much as any acknowledgement of their sin had from them? Shall not they be induced to put no difference between the precious and the vile, not to discern between him that fears God and him that fears him not, when the public resolutions put no difference? Then, how will it confirm all the malignant party in their wickedness? May they not think our solemn vows and engagements, our rigid resolutions and proceedings, were but all contrived and acted out of policy, and that interest and advantage, and not conscience, principled them? Have they not an occasion given them to persecute all the godly, and vent their long-harbored malice against these who have been most zealous for reformation and purging of the land? Nay, they are put in the capacity that they have desired, for acting all their resolutions and accomplishing their designs. And last of all, the present proceedings will not only encourage and animate the common enemy, but confirm them in all the imputations and calumnies they have loaded our church with. May they not have ground to think that we are but driving on a politic design, and do not singly aim at God's glory, that it is not grounds of conscience that act us, but some worldly interest, when they look upon the inconstancy and changeableness of our way and course, which is so accommodated to occasions and times? Can they think us men of conscience, that will join with all these men of blood, before we will so much as speak with them? It is replied, that the scandal is taken, and not given, which must not be stood upon in the case of a necessary duty. But, 1. We cleared, that there is no necessity of that conjunction, therefore the scandal is given, seeing it is known beforehand that it will be taken. 2. There are many grounds of offense given by the present resolutions, as appears by what is said. If it were no more, it is a great appearance of evil, it is very inductive of many evils, a most fit occasion of all that is spoken, and besides, it is in itself sinful, contrary to God's word, and our oaths. Sixth reason. That which makes glad all the wicked and enemies of God in the land, and sad many, if not most part, of the godly, hath much appearance and evidence, if not certainty, of evil. But the public resolutions and proceedings are such. Ergo, or thus that which makes glad all the wicked, and heightens the hopes and expectations of the malignant party, and makes sad none almost but the godly, and discourages their spirits, that, proceeding from the public judicatories, cannot be right and lawful. But so it is, that which proceeds from the public judicatories makes glad all the hearts of the wicked, and makes sad none almost but the godly, heightens the hopes of the malignants, and makes them say, their day is coming, lo we have seen it, and discourages the godly, and makes them almost say, our hope is cut off, our glory is departed. Ergo, it cannot be right, at least it hath a great and convincing appearance of evil. This argument may be thought more popular than either philosophical or scriptural. But such an argument the General Assembly, 1648, made use of against the engagement. It is no ways imaginable how the wicked and ungodly in the land would so insult and rejoice in this day, if they saw not some legible characters upon it, which were agreeable to their own principles and ends. The children of God are, for the most part, led by the Spirit of God, and taught the way they should choose, John 16:13, Psalm 25:12. So that readily they do not scunner at courses approved of God. But the children of the world being, at best, led by their own carnal minds and senses and, for the most part, acted by a spirit of disobedience and enmity against God, they use not to rejoice at things that do not suit with their carnal hearts, and are not engraved with the character of that which is imprinted in their spirits. We see, now, that the wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. And when the wicked rise, the righteous is hidden, and when they bear rule, the people mourneth, but when righteous men are in authority, the people do rejoice, and when the righteous rejoiceth, there is great glory, Psalm 12:8, Proverbs 28:12 and 29:2. Seventh reason. That which is the accomplishment and perfecting of the malignant design that hath been driven on these years past, especially since the unlawful engagement, cannot be a course approved of God. But the present course is the accomplishment of that design. Ergo, that there hath been a design, for a long time driven and endeavored, both at home and abroad, with much policy and industry, by many turnings and windings, and by arguments of several kinds, as the exigence of the times did furnish, and that the design was, to have all such persons in trust and power again, who had been secluded, that so they might compass their own ends hath not been denied hitherto, and we are persuaded no man that fears God and observes the times, is ignorant of it. Let the public papers of the treaty at Breda, and the public papers of this kingdom and church at home, be consulted. They bear witness for us, Was not the foundation of it laid in Holland, and many of them in both nations, brought home with the king contrary to public resolutions, and by the prevailing influence of some in the state, kept in the kingdom, contrary to public resolutions? Was not the work of purging judicatories and armies obstructed, the godly discountenanced and discouraged, great endeavors used to raise the malignants in the south and in England, and, since the defeat, to raise all without exception in the north, but when that could not be obtained, by the withstanding of honest men in the state? The levies appointed, which would have been a considerable force for the defense of the kingdom, were rendered wholly ineffectual, partly by taking money for men, partly by raising the malignant party, and then pretending to go against them. They were pacified by an act of indemnity, the fruit and result of all which is this present conjunction with them, and putting the power of judicatories and armies in their hand. Thus the design is completed. 8th reason. That which will increase the Lord's indignation and controversy against the land yet 7 times more, that is very unlawful and unseasonable. But so it is that confederacy and association with the people of these abominations will increase the Lord's indignation and controversy 7 times more. Ergo, the assumption was, as manifest and uncontroverted as the proposition, a few months ago, but it is begun now to be questioned by some, qui quod sit nescient, quia sapient, but we shall evince it. 1. We are standing under such a sentence, which we deliberately and sincerely passed upon ourselves, in the days of our vows to God, that, if we did ever any more join with the people of these abominations, the Lord would consume us till there was no remnant. And this was not done in rashness but in sobriety, and with a scripture precedent, Ezra 9:12 and 13. 2. Our experience hath made this clear to us, we never did mingle ourselves among them, but the Lord did pursue us with indignation, and stamped that sin, as in 5 characters, upon our judgment. God hath set upon that rock, that we have so oft split upon, a remarkable beacon. Therefore we do not only in our solemn engagements, bind ourselves over to a curse, in case of relapsing, but pass the sentence of great madness and folly on ourselves. Piscator ite tu sapit. Experience makes fools wise, but it cannot cure madness. Did not that mixture provoke God at Dunbar? And is this the way to appease him, to revolt more and more? 3. Conjunction and confederacy with that party doth necessarily infer a communion in blessings and plagues. We must cast in our lot with them, and have all one purse. Now it hath been confessed and declared by this church, that God hath a notable controversy with that party, that this enemy is in an eminent way to bear them down and crush them. Therefore, if we join with them, we must resolve to partake of their plagues, and have that controversy pleaded against us also. It is answered, that indignation need not be feared simply on this account, because the means are lawful and necessary, else, if this have any force, it will conclude, that we should lie down and do nothing, because God's indignation is upon the whole land. But we reply, 1. Though it be true, that this enemy is the rod of God's indignation against the whole land, yet it is certain to us, and hath been formerly unquestioned, that they are raised up in a special way, to execute God's wrath on malignants, and God doth form them with power in a signal manner for that end. Besides, the Lord's anger and indignation against his enemies is such, as will burn and none can quench it. It is of another nature than his wrath against his own people, which is a hiding of his face for a moment. He corrects us in measure and judgment, but leaves us not altogether unpunished. But he makes an end of other nations, especially these that rise up to actual enmity and hatred of his people, and shedding of their blood. And therefore, If any man would not meet with wrath and sore displeasure, he would stand at a distance with such as God hath appointed for destruction, we mean, as long as they carry in their foreheads the mark of the beast. When God hath such a remarkable controversy against a people, then he that helpeth and he that is helped shall both fall together, Isaiah 31:3. All that is in league with them shall fall with them by the sword, Ezekiel 35:30-21.
2. Since it is known that the malignant party have not changed their principles, and so they cannot but in prosecuting this war establish their old quarrel and follow it, namely the king's arbitrary power, the interest of man above God's, or the kingdom's interest, we leave it to be judged impartially, whether or not these that associate with them, do espouse that quarrel and interest, at least expose themselves to all that wrath and indignation, which hath hitherto followed that quarrel, seeing they must have common blessings and curses. Will not that quarrel holden up by most part of the army, be a wicked thing, an action in the camp, that will make God turn away from it, and put Israel to shame? Having thus established the truth, in the next place, we come to take off what objections are made to the contrary. First, it is argued from human authority. The uncontroverted and universal practice of all nations in all generations is to employ all subjects in the case of necessary just defense. It was the practice of our reformers, who took into the congregation and received all that, upon acknowledgement of their error, were willing to join, though they had been on the contrary faction. Such an universal practice of Christian nations, though it be not the ground of our faith, yet it is apparent that it cannot want reason for it. Answer 1. This will plead, as much against the exceptions added in the answer to the query and act of levy, foreseeing other nations, except none, in the case of necessary defense, why should we, except any? And if once we, except any upon good and convincing grounds, upon the same ground we ought to, except far more. To Mr. Gillespie, in his treatise of miscellaneous questions, makes mention that the city of Strasbourg, 1529, made a defensive league with Zurich, Bern, and Basel, because they were not only neighbors, but men of the same religion. And the Elector of Saxony refused to take into confederacy those who differed from him in the point of the Lord's Supper, lest such sad things should befall him, as befell these in Scripture, who used any means of their own defense. This rule was good in theory, though in that case misapplied. Now then, if they made conscience of choosing as the means of their own defense a confederacy with foreigners, may not the same ground lead us to a distance from our own countrymen, as unqualified, who have nothing to commend them but that they are of the same nation, which is nothing in point of conscience? 3. The practice of other nations that are not tender in many greater points cannot be very convincing, especially when we consider that the Lord hath made light to arise, in this particular, more bright than in former times. God hath taken occasion of illustrating and commending many truths unto us in this generation, from the darkness of error, and of making straight many rules, from the crookedness of men's practice and walking. Is not the Lord now performing the promise of purging out the rebels from among us and them that transgress? God hath winked at former times of ignorance. But now, the Lord having cleared his mind so to us, how great madness were it to forsake our own mercy, and despise the counsel of God against our own souls? 1. As for that instance of our reformers, there could not have been anything brought more prejudicial to that cause, and more advantageous for us. After they were twice beaten by the French in Leith, and their forces scattered, and the leaders and chief men of the congregation forced to retire to Stirling, John Knox, preaching upon the 80th Psalm, and searching the causes of God's wrath against them, condescends upon this, as the chief cause, that they had received into their councils and forces such men as had formerly opposed the congregation, and says, God never blessed them, since the Duke had come among them. See Knox's Chronicles too. It cannot be showed that ever they took in a party and faction of such men, but only some few persons, which, though it was not altogether justifiable, was yet more excusable. But now the public resolutions hold forth the conjunction with all the bloody murderers in the kingdom excepting very few, and these without profession of repentance in many, and without evidence of the reality of it almost in any. Three, these persons were not such as had once joined with the congregation, and relapsed and became enemies to it, but they turned to the Protestant religion from popery. But ours is a different case. Second, it is argued from Scripture. Three Scripture instances are brought to justify the present proceedings. The first instance is from the practice of God's people in the book of Judges, who, when for defection from religion they were brought under oppression, yet, when any governor was raised by God for their defense, they gathered and came all out promiscuously, notwithstanding a great part of them had been in the defection. Yet it is not found that their governors are reproved for this, but rather sad curses on them that came not out to the work, Judges 5:15, 16, 17 and 23. The second instance is from the story of the kings, very like the first. When, after defection, gracious reforming kings arose, and had to do against foreign invasion, we find them not debarring any subjects, but calling them out promiscuously. Neither is this laid to their charge, that they called out such and such subjects, though we may perceive by the story of the prophets, that the greater part of the body of the people were wicked, and see, we answer to these two instances jointly.
1. We may by the like reason prove, that which is, as yet incontroverted we know not how long, that we ought at no time to make choice of instruments, neither in case of prosecution of the cause and the invasion of others, nor yet in the time, when choice is to be had, and so, that all our former engagements, resolutions, and proceedings, in the point of purging judicatories and armies, was superfluous and supererogatory, because we read not that the reforming kings and judges, whenever they had an invasive war, and in the times that they had greatest plenty and multitudes of people, did ever debar any of their subjects from that service, but called them out promiscuously. Neither is this laid to their charge, though we may perceive that the greater part of the people were wicked under the best kings. Therefore we may lawfully employ any subjects of the kingdom in any of our wars. And we may look upon all indifferently, without any discerning of persons that fear God and them that fear him not, as in good capacity to be entrusted, even when otherwise we have choice of good instruments. Certainly it follows, by parity of reason.
For, if you conclude that, from the calling forth all promiscuously, and no reproof given for it, in the case of necessary defense, then we may conclude, from the calling forth of all promiscuously, and in the case of an invasive war, and no reproof recorded, that neither, in such a case, is it sinful to make no difference, and that with strong reason, because it being more easy in such a case to choose instruments, and no necessity pleading for it, if it had been sinful, the prophets would have rather reproved it, than rebuked them for using such means in a case of necessity. 2. We may argue after that manner, that in the case of necessary just defense, there should be no exceptions made at all of any persons, because we read not that the judges or kings debarred any subjects, neither that they were rebuked for so doing. Therefore the instances militate, as much against the exceptions added in the answer to the query, as against us, unless it be said that there were no such persons among that people, which were,
as groundless rashness as to say that they gave all evidence of repentance. 3. Seeing the judges and the reforming kings of Judah were so accurate and exact in cleaving to the law of God, and walking according to it in all other things, it were more charitable and Christian judgment to say, that, since they are not reproved for any fault in this particular, that they were also exact to walk according to the rule, Deuteronomy 23, in so great a point as this. 4. Men's practice is often lame and crooked, and therefore must be examined according to the rule, but it were not fair dealing to accommodate the rule to men's practice. Seeing then we have so clear and perfect a rule, Deuteronomy 23, which must judge both their practice and ours, we see not how their practice can be obtruded as a rule upon us, which itself must be examined according to a common and general rule. If it be not according to that law, we hold it to be sinful in itself, and so no precedent for us, albeit the prophets did not reprove it in express and particular terms, as they did not reprove man stealing, and see, yet they rebuked it by consequence, in as far as they rebuked the kings for association with wicked Israelites, which is condemned upon grounds common to this very case in hand. 5. We see not any ground for such promiscuous calling forth of the people by the judges. Barak's business, as that of Jephthah and Gideon, was done by no great multitudes of people, but a few choice men. 6. As the oppression was heavy and continued long, so the repentance of the people was solemn, and their deliverance a fruit of this. 7. Their case and ours is very different. None of Israel or Judah did fight against the profession of the true religion, and shed the blood of their fellow subjects who were for the defense of the same. Israel in the days of the judges, and Judah in the time of the reforming kings, was not divided the one half against the other, upon opposition and defense of the true religion, and the better part, after many experiences of the treachery and enmity of the most of the worst part, solemnly engaged to God not to admit them to employment and trust, but upon real evidence of repentance of which they should judge as in the sight of God. And last of all, did ever Israel or Judah, in the days of their judges and reforming kings, admit into their armies a party and faction of such as had given no real evidence of their abandoning their former course, and such a party, as had been long studying to get the power of armies and judicatories in their own hands for attaining their own ends? But all those are in our case.